For all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action, I've been asked to relay a request from the Gramercy Riffs. It's a special for the Warriors. That's that real live bunch from Coney. And I do mean the Warriors. Here's a hit with them in mind.
Good evening, all you boppers out there. You're listening to another podcast of Natsukashi, the place where movies and memories collide like a rumble between the baseball furies and the rogues. Can you dig it? My name is Rob. I will be your host, and we have yet another cavalcade of nostalgic goodness for all you boppers out there. That's right. It's the 1979 Walter Hill cult classic, The Warriors, which is celebrating its third decade this year. The Warriors opened number one at the box office on February 11, 1979 on about 550 screens to the tune of $3 million, and it went on to gross about $22 million in the U.S., and that's not including overseas takes. It's loosely based on the Greek text Anabasis, and it is set, quote, in the future. The plot is rather simplistic. The Warriors are mistakenly accused of killing kind of a gang overlord by the name of Cyrus, and soon every gang in the city is out to get revenge. The rest of the film follows the Warriors making their way from one end of New York to their home turf on the other end. And when it was released, this film, in 1979, it caused quite a stir. It was targeted for starting riots and violence where it played. So tonight, we've gathered our own little ragtag group of ruffians to enter the fray. Gern, Scott, do you guys have any ideas what our gang name should be this evening?
Yeah, great. Nice to spring that on us. Appreciate that. How about the Pointless Losers is always a favorite of mine.
The cinema peers.
Joining us tonight is contributor Gern Blanston, who is representing from the East Side. Welcome, Gern.
Thank you, sir.
It would not be a Warriors podcast if we did not have the owner of He Shot Cyrus with us tonight, Scott, Mr. El Gringo himself. Good evening, Scott.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, I wanted to make sure that there were no rumbles that would break out in tonight's podcast, so I invited a special guest to help keep you both in line. And tonight, we have the perfect gentleman for doing that, Mr. Irwin Keyes, a.k.a. the bad cop number one, who put the smackdown on Ajax in the film. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mr. Keyes. It's an honor to have you with us.
Well, it's fun to be here. The technology has certainly moved way ahead from when it was when we made The Warriors. I'll say that.
Over two millenniums ago, an army of Greek soldiers found themselves isolated in the middle of the Persian Empire, 1,000 miles from safety, 1,000 miles from the sea. 1,000 miles with enemies on all sides. Theirs was a story of a desperate forced march. Theirs was a story of courage. This, too, is a story of courage.
Irwin, this was one of your first big screen appearances in The Warriors. But you originally read for the role of Ajax, is that correct?
That's right. That's right. I was up there for the part, and then they told me that I was just a little too old because they ended up hiring a younger gang. And because of that, there just wasn't a part for me in the gang. But Walter wanted to use me in the movie, so he said, don't worry, I'll find something else for you to do in the film. And then he said, I know, you're going to be the bad cop. So that's how I got the part.
Well, Gern, you have selected Warriors for this evening for a podcast. Tell me why you wanted to revisit this. What was your first experience viewing this?
I remember first seeing it, I think, probably on HBO. And at the time, it was just a lot of fun. You know, it was a bunch of young guys tearing through the city. They had everybody against them. They fought their way out. In the end, they prevailed. Good as far as it's concerned in this movie, even though basically all the main characters, all the heroes are actually bad guys. And I think I like that. So that appealed to a young Gern who was a rebel without a clue.
Can you count, suckers?
I say the future is ours! If you can count.
And Scott, this was a seminal film for you, so much so that you devoted your blog's name to it. Why did this film speak so loudly to you?
This I ended up seeing in the last year of high school, I think. I saw it mentioned on an episode of MTV Cribs, and they were like, everybody has their copy of Scarface and their posters and everything, but some rapper brought out his copy of The Warriors, and was like, forget Scarface, you got to see The Warriors. So I went down, I went to work and the next day, and I rented it, and I fell in love with it. It became my favorite film. It's the one that I love to show people who haven't heard of it. And I'm daily telling people, you know, you got to check out this movie. You can borrow the multiple copies I have, and I just love it. I don't know. It's the most fun movie that I've seen ever.
All right. No faint praise there.
Yeah, when it came to naming the blog, I had to do something Warriors-related. I also wouldn't have been worth it.
He Shot Cyrus is a great name, too. That's you have to be a fan of the film to get that.
Can you dig it?
Now, Irwin, you mentioned prior to this podcast that there was something special you felt about this film when making it. Can you describe that to us? Can you tell us about that?
Well, it wasn't just me. I had a number of friends who worked in this movie, and I don't know, you know, maybe because we were still young back then and we were so hopeful, and, you know, that's kind of the way actors are. You know, when they do a project, suddenly they think, wow, this is, like, great. This is like the best movie ever made, and we thought we had something special here.
And you were right.
Yeah, I had a friend who was in the Lizzies, and she thought that way. And I had another friend who was who was in the gang with the bottles, the guy with the bottles.
That was the Rogues, right?
The Rogues, yeah. He was like the number two guy in the Rogues.
Cool.
A friend of mine, Joel. And like, this is all we could talk about. I mean, and this went on, whenever I see them, it's always, wow, we were in the Warriors, you know. It's just something, you know, they can't take it away from us. We were in the Warriors.
You have actually, I mean, you've been a steady fixture in the entertainment industry since you first kind of really, really struck a chord in the collective consciousness of pop culture on the Jeffersons, mm-hmm. as Hugo, with a catchphrase that I think kind of ranks up there with Sit on It, Nanu Nanu, and Cowabunga, really, as far as pop culture catchphrases go, where you said, Hi, Remember Me, in your role there in mm-hmm. several episodes. And then since, you've kind of alternated between big films like The Flintstones, House of a Thousand Corpses, The Coen Brothers, Intolerable Cruelty, where you had the aptly named Wheezy Joe, who meets his unfortunate demise in a quite a memorable fashion, shall we say. You've also, pardon the pun, carved out quite a career in the horror genre, too.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, you know, I hate to turn down any work. I just, you know, I hate to say no. You know, you know, if something comes along and it just kind of, yeah, I'll do it. You know, why not? Because you never know where it goes. You know, never know where some of the stuff leads you. You know, what you think is like the smallest part, suddenly a movie becomes like a cult movie. And people always remember you from that. And they remember you from this and that. And kind of, you know, that's what makes a career. Because I'm a character actor. I'm not, you know, a pretty boy. I'm not going to get the pretty boy parts or anything like that, but I'm a character actor.
And Wheezy Joe was certainly one of those characters. Not only is that found on YouTube, but it's in German as well, too. I don't know if you've seen yourself speak German as Wheezy Joe.
Oh, yeah. I actually caught that one recently somewhere or other on YouTube, I guess it was. And it really surprised me to hear that in German. But I'm not surprised, because when George and I, we start working on this thing, and I think we knocked it off in about 2 hours. And then the two Coen brothers are looking at each other, and they're like scratching their heads because they didn't know what to do next. You know, they kind of are a little lost when they're off their schedule because it just worked. You know, if something works, you know, it works. Hell, I don't know why. All my life I've been denied. You can't count these tears I've cried. I just want to run and hide. But giving up can fix my pride. I just want to touch the sky. Get away up so high. Reach my dreams before I die. Spread my wings so I can fly. This man is always measured by the things he has. Man is haunted by the things in life he'll never have.
there's also another memorable performance that you've done, and I can't remember the name of the band, but you starred in a music video, and it's a 3-minute video, but man, and no speaking role in there, but what a powerful little performance.
The song was good enough for Prozac. The guy's name was Prozac. It came out about 2 years ago. We shot it in Michigan. You know, I met him at the Chiller Theater, you know, at the Chiller Show in New Jersey. And I gave him my card, and he kept me in mind. And then when this thing came up, you know, he wanted to do this. When he called me up, and, you know, we worked it all out. I went to Michigan. You sort of had the song, what was going to be there. But until I saw it, you never really knew what exactly, you know, how it was going to be. And then when we put all the pieces together, I was just so proud of that. And I sure wish a lot of people would catch that, because I think it's a very good music video.
Well, and it's an extremely powerful performance, too, for just a short amount of time. And it's kind of shows the skill of the actor involved, of yourself. I mean, that was able to be that memorable for that short a time and no speaking role whatsoever.
Okay, let's get down to it, boppers. We're gonna have to do better out there. Our friends just made it past one of the minor league teams. Remember, boppers, be looking good.
Gern, you sat down recently to watch this film again as an adult, or a reasonable facsimile thereof. What happened?
Well said.
Did you watch the director's cut version of this, or did you watch the original?
I watched the director's cut version. I did skip through the lead-in where the director did talk a bit about it, because I wanted to, you know, make sure I just watched the film as close to the original as I now. Again, I'd seen the original back in maybe 82, so it's been a long time, even though it stuck with me. I mentioned to you before that that cry of "Warriors, come out and play" is something that I've quoted many times through the years, even though I only saw this film once a long time ago. Yeah, it was still a lot of fun. I mean, I just wanted to put on a baseball hat and some makeup and go out and hit somebody with a bat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to do it at 14th Street. They shot all that at 14th Street.
Right.
The subway at 14th Street.
Scott, this film has grown with you. What does it mean? What does the Warriors mean to you today?
Well, it just sort of represents like this period of film that I love. This you know, mid to late 70s, not, you know, cult film, you know, which goes in with exploitation films and blaxploitation films and just all these cult ones that have, you know, have these devoted fans and followers. You talk to the average person on the street and they've never heard of it before. But it's sort of like a code when you mention it to somebody and they know what you're talking about. For as much coverage as it has, and for as many like different adaptations and different spin-offs and things as it has, not a lot of people know about it. And it's kind of great being part of a little secret club.
I see what's happening next door and down the block. Belly hanging down, 5 kids, cockroaches in the cupboard. I'll tell you what I want. I want something now. This is the life I got left. You know what I mean? You get a warrior, huh?
Now, Irwin, like you said, you were young when this was being filmed, and it was a mainly young cast, and it had to be just a blast. What were some of the most memorable times you had while making this film?
When we were making it, it was just, I just remember how we... There were so many little pieces they had to do for that, to do that, you know, they had the stunts, and they had the bench, the fake bench, and this and that, and everything just had to be right with the car, and the lighting, and I just remember how, you know, it just came together. It was just worked. The scene, you know, the physical stunts just worked. You know, and that's, you know, throughout the movie, you see that all these physical scenes, they just work.
You feeling all right, lady? Need a little help or something, lady?
Why don't you sit down? Keep me company.
Whatever you say, lady.
Oh, look at those muscles. I bet the chicks like all those muscles.
the car doing like the 180, pulling up sideways right up to Ajax. It's so, I don't know. I never understood why they felt the need to spin the car like that, but I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't do it any other way. I love that scene.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's so good. You know, physical things in movies without dialogue sometimes, and they speak for themselves. You know, when mm-hmm. you have all the pieces together with the lighting and the camera, you know, it was so macho. Yeah, we were all like starting out back then. It was, you know, it's just amazing.
Irwin, where does the Warriors fit for you? And I mean, obviously, you have an incredibly vast career in screens, both big and small, and commercials and music videos, like we said. Where does the Warriors fit for you in this career that you've created for yourself?
I would say it would be like the first A movie. It was an A movie. It made money. It made a lot of money, and people still watch it today. It's not just another action movie. It's an action movie which actually has something to say to people, whether it was our generation or the current generation. Whoever watches it, they get something out of it.
Latest sports news off the street, boppers. The baseball furies dropped the ball, made an error. Our friends are on second base and trying to make it all the way home. But the inside word is that the odds are against them. Stay tuned, boppers. Stay tuned.
Did I tell you the thing about when we were at the Chiller Theater 3 years ago, we had the Warriors room? Did I tell you about this?
No. No.
Well, I was invited to the Chiller from, you know, I live in California. I was invited. They had an entire room filled with all the Warriors. You know, the current Warriors as they are, you know, 3 years ago. And it was just amazing. The fans that came with all these DVDs, and people had the original poster, and people had a fake poster. It just, huh. It's just something you could tell, you know, because people did make fake posters of the Warriors. And, you know, we signed it anyway, but it was just kind of interesting. But we just had a blast for 3 days. All the people from the Warriors, all the gang were there.
So, like, James Remar and everyone were there?
Yeah.
Remar was the only one who wasn't there, and there was one of the Warriors died. Yeah, everybody else was there. It was just fun. It was, you know, a blast.
Now look what we have here before us. We've got the Saracens sitting next to the Jones Street Boys. We've got the Moon Runners right by the Van Cortlandt Rangers. Nobody is wasting nobody. That is a miracle. And miracles is the way things ought to be.
Are you looking forward to the remake?
You know, I hear, they're going to do it hip-hop, they're going to do this, that. There's only one Warriors. I'm getting tired of these remakes, these people trying to remake old scripts that were made that were great first time around. You know, come up with new ideas already, you know? You know, that's what it's about.
And it's funny you mentioned that a couple weeks prior to the new Friday the 13th reincarnation, which you also starred in as well as the busboy in the original 1980 film.
Yeah. I shot that right before the Warriors. I remember I did that in April, and then we did the Warriors in June. When we did this thing in April, it was like, you know, I was still a non-union actor, and by June I was a union actor. You understand what I mean? I was on that cusp, and in between I had done a commercial for Timex that got me my union card. That's when my career started. And Paramount picked it up and said, well, we'll try this thing out, see what happens. And they ended up with a super, super hit.
No kidding.
They never expected that. They never expected
what
it's become. Yeah. It's just... never expected it.
When we emailed each other prior to this, you had just wrapped shooting. I know you also dabble in painting and writing as well. What's next? What's in store for Irwin Keyes? What can we look forward to?
Today I read for a TV show for a part in Heroes. I don't know if I'll get it, but, you know, yeah, there's always something coming around. The world is changing. You know,
sure.
I think with Screen Actors Guild kind of settling down, and it looks like they're going to settle the possibility of a strike, work is going to happen again. There's going to be a lot of work in California for actors.
Well, definitely hope for the best on that one. Gern and Scott, do either of you have any further questions for Mr. Keyes?
Before we run, I got to ask Irwin a question about one of his newer films, about WrestleManiac.
It's where they put El Mascarado, the best Mexican wrestler of all time, after he gouged a man's eyes out with his bare hands.
The thing about Mexican legends is that sometimes they turn out to be true. Do yourselves a favor. Do not stop.
I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that film. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It was originally called El Mascarado Massacre. And I just wish it really got a release because, you know, I know it's been on DVD, but I always thought that if people knew more about it than it was out there, it would really, it was a good movie. I thought it was a decent film. When we first screened it, I was so surprised how good it turned out. If you ever get a chance, I know it's in the video stores. I wish it had a fair shake. I really do.
Yeah. And
yeah,
on Netflix.
I want to see it now.
Anybody listening, it's on Netflix under WrestleManiac.
I'd like to see it on a Chiller channel or something. One of the girls in it, she's like Miss WrestleManiac. She's like the gal who's at every wrestling meet, you know, holding up the signs or whatever. She's, you know, very involved with the wrestling world.
Huh.
The girl was hidden underneath the table with her legs up. My scene was just with the idiots on their way to death. You know, the kids, these stupid kids that get lost in the middle of Mexico and they're trying to make a porno movie, right? And they're just having a good time and they get lost and they don't have enough gas. And where do they end up at my gas station with no gas? And, you know, the only thing I could give them is cocaine. And a warning not to go down that road.
Well, I want to thank you, Irwin, Gern, Scott. Thank you for coming out to play.
Yeah.
Do you know that was not in the script?
I heard that, but please elaborate on that for us.
I don't know. I was told that is not in the script. That he improvised it. He said to Walter, what's his act name again?
David Patrick Kelly.
I'm sorry, I just, you know, names, sometimes you forget all the names. But anyway, David, I heard that he went with Walter, he took him on the side, and he came up with this idea, and he told him about it with the bottles and saying this thing. And Walter said, yeah, let's do it. And that's how it got in the script.
Yeah, wasn't it like a childhood?
Yeah, that's one of the most memorable things.
It was a childhood taunt or something I remember reading that he received. He was on the receiving end of that taunt as a child and kind of stuck with him.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
Last night I was watching a film I just randomly rented called The City of Violence, and I think it's a Korean film, and it's about gangs, and all of a sudden, like, in the middle of a fight scene, comes around these gangs dressed as the Baseball Furies with Warriors jerseys on. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah, that's like an
pop culture
homage.
If you had to pick a gang, which gang would you want to be a part of? I think I'd want to be one of the Baseball Furies.
The Lizzies.
that fits you best.
Yeah.
I think I want to be the only white guy in the riff. Walter Hill wanted Warriors to be an all-black gang, and the studios wouldn't have it. and then which is how you got, you know, like James Remar and everybody attached to the film. But he originally wanted an all-black gang.
Well, I know one of the names of the gangs was an homage to one of my favorite musical artists of all time, and they were called the E Street Shufflers. And that's
I get the reference.
Yes, a Bruce Springsteen reference. So that's probably the gang I would most want to saddle
up with.
It
was Bruce Springsteen?
It's still on, and we're going. Cyrus sent an emissary this afternoon to make sure. Now, Cyrus don't want anybody packed, and he don't want anybody flexing any muscle. So I gave him my word that the Warriors would uphold the truce.
Erwin, I can't thank you enough, and I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of Gern and Scott. I will close by paraphrasing your own words and say, continue to be true to every role, and we will always be on your side.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you,
thank
everyone.
You. Thank you, Erwin.
Okay. Nice to meet you all.
Have a great night.
Good news, boppers. The big alert has been called off. It turns out that the early reports were wrong. All wrong. Now, for that group out there that had such a hard time getting home, sorry about that. I guess the only thing we can do is play you a song.